All right, well, you can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5. Start Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on some lessons from Peter's life. Lessons from Peter's life. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Luke 5, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God," this is upon Jesus, "he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," which is the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he," Jesus, "entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him," or asked him, "that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto him, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down" what? The net, right. So Jesus told him to let down his nets. And Peter was like, "We didn't really catch anything. But, you know, since you asked, I'll let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch" what?
Men.
So this is Jesus Christ calling Peter to be a part of his ministry. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. So Jesus gets Peter to follow him. And Peter's life up until that point was that of a fisherman. He was one who was, you know, his profession, his life was to catch fish. And it's really cool here because what God does for Peter is he sets him up financially to follow him, right? Those fish represented, you know, his income. What he was able to feed his family with was by fishing. And he enclosed such a multitude that the nets break. So he just had this huge, gigantic, enormous catch, bigger than he's ever caught in his entire life. And it sets Peter up to be able to, you know, follow Jesus and be provided. He has everything that he needs and is provided for. Go to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. And I just think that's so loving, right? That Jesus Christ called Peter to follow him, but he sets him up, right? He sets him up so he can take care of his family before he has to leave. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "And he goeth up into a mountain," again, this is Jesus, "goes up into a mountain and calls unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon he surnamed Peter, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. It's a cool nickname. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into a house. Right? And so Peter is ordained as one of the 12 apostles. Right? Wow. So he's asked to become a fisher of men, and he becomes one of the 12 apostles, the inner circle with Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 8, verse 27. So God saw something great in Peter when he had Jesus Christ make him an apostle. Mark 8, 27. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say you that I am? Who do you think that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art what? The Christ. The Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. So Jesus Christ lays out everything that's going to happen, right? He explains to them that this is what he's going to have to go through pretty early on. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to what? Rebuke him. Right? And so here we get to see Peter's kind of boldness and his heart, right? He obviously loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, like, this is what's going to happen to me. You know, they're going to reject me. They're going to beat me. They're going to kill me. And Peter's like, wait a second. No way. But, verse 33, when he had turned about, so this is Jesus, when Jesus had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me what? Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of who?
Men.
Right. So, here we see, you know, again, Peter's great boldness and his great heart. Peter was strong, but he was wrong, right? He was strong, but wrong, right? He really had a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't want to see those things happen to him. But Jesus Christ saw things spiritually. And it's really cool here because it doesn't say that he looked Peter in the face, right? Where did Jesus Christ look? On the disciples, right? He turned to the disciples and said what he said, Get behind me, Satan. Right? He needed to reprove what Peter was saying, but he knew where that, you know, that influence was coming from, right? That he wouldn't want anyone to be questioning what God had told him to do. He knew that he had to die for our sins. He knew what his calling was. And he didn't want anybody questioning that. And he knew that the adversary would be the one trying to get him to question that. So we see Peter's boldness. Now the other thing is we see Peter's strength. Because this probably wasn't fun for Peter, right? Probably not a great time having the Lord Jesus Christ say, Get behind me, Satan. Right? He got reproved. But he didn't just kind of curl up and be like, Well, that Jesus Christ is a jerk. I'm walking away, right? Some people, when they get reproved like that, they give up. They get discouraged. But Peter stuck with it, right? He was strong, but he was wrong. And that's okay. And we're going to see more of this in his personality. Right? Go to Mark 14. Because sometimes reproof like that is enough to take out a believer right there on the spot. Right? But the word says that when we get reproved, we win a brother. Right? We win a brother. Somebody who really cares about our hearts will reprove us and tell us when we're wrong. And Peter loved Jesus Christ the more. Sorry. Did I say Mark 14? I meant Matthew 14. If I said Matthew 14, you're in the right place. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 25. Says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Right? So the fourth watch of the night is pretty early in the morning. It's like 3 a.m., I think. And they're out there on the sea. And the verse before says, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It wasn't a nice, like, peaceful row that night. But here comes Jesus Christ walking on the sea out to them. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, or it's a ghost. Right? That's what they thought. And they cried out for fear. They were afraid. I mean, they're out there in the middle of the ocean, and there's something walking towards them on the water. It's kind of spooky, right? Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. Right? Because he knew their reaction was going to be. Don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Well, if it's really you, tell me to come out there with you. Allow me to come out on the water with you. Right? Again, we see his boldness. We see his heart, his assertiveness. And verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he did what? He walked on the water. He walked on the water. Right? So we see that, you know, again, Peter has great boldness. He's got great assertiveness. He wants to do the word. He wants to be close to Jesus. And he walks on the water too for a little bit. Verse 30, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. He was afraid. And that's what changed everything. He was bold and assertive a minute ago and walking on the water. And when he let that fear get into him, he began to sink. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, or little believing, wherefore, why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Right? So once again, we see his heart. And in a very human way, we see him get afraid. And he takes his eyes off of God's word. He starts looking at the circumstances around him and how they're not what he had hoped for, right? And that changes his believing. That causes him to doubt and to become afraid. And that's when he begins to sink, right? When he had his eyes on God and what he was supposed to be doing, he was walking on water. And when he got afraid and took his eyes off of that, that's when he began to sink. And some people might say, well, look at Peter. He didn't believe and he got afraid and he sank. But did anybody else even bother to walk on the water?
No.
No. Right. He took the opportunity to believe and to walk on the water. Right. And the lesson that we can learn from that is that sometimes we've got to walk out on what God's word says. And we might screw up. We might stumble and we might fall. Right. But if we never do it, then we never walk, right? Then it never happens. So we need to take that leap sometimes, right? And God will be there to pick us up. He'll be there to help us. Go to Mark chapter 14, verse 26.
So you got it in Jesus because you're doing math again, Mark?
Mark, yes, correct. Mark 14, 26.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Mark 14, 26, it says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, All ye," that means all of them, "all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Right? So Jesus Christ knew what was prophesied. He knew what was going to happen, that all of his followers would desert him. And he tells them to their faces. Verse 28, "But after that I am risen, I will go up before you into Galilee. But Peter," our good buddy Peter, "said unto him, Although all shall be," even though everyone else will be offended, "yet will not I." No way will I be offended, Lord. No way. "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow," and the comma should be there after crow, "twice thou shalt deny me thrice." You're going to deny me six times, right? So Peter's like, no way am I going to, absolutely not. And Jesus Christ says, well, actually, you're going to do it six times. Six times, right? So we all know how that turns out. It says, verse 31, "But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Right? So they all, me neither. "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed," which is better translated, "thoroughly troubled, and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that night, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things which are possible unto thee, take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Are you asleep? Could you not thou watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Right? And so here was this guy who was saying, there's no way I'm going to be offended in you at all. And then he can't even stay up with him. Right? He can't even hack it and sit there and pray with Jesus Christ when he really needs friend. He really needs support. Right? Jesus Christ was like, hey, can you just hang out here for a little while and pray? And Peter falls asleep on him, right? Not what you really want your friend to do when you need help. We're going to jump down to verse 70. We're not going to read the whole record, but verse 70 kind of is the culmination of it. "And he," speaking of Peter, "denied it again." So there you go. "And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth here." You even talk like a Galilean. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." Right? And just a little bit earlier, he's saying, there's no way I would ever deny you. But that's Peter for you. "And the second time, the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crow, twice thou shalt deny me thrice. And he thought thereon, and when he thought thereon, he wept. right? And this is just how we can sometimes be, right? This is just how we can be as well, right? Sometimes we let other people down. Sometimes we make a promise or we have the best intentions and we don't follow through on those things, right? But did Jesus Christ love Peter?
Yeah.
He sure did. He sure did. He forgave him, right? We can sometimes get embarrassed or afraid of admitting who we are because we get afraid, right? We don't want to tell people that we believe God, or we don't want it to be the focus of our conversation. But it's fear that puts us in these situations, right? It's fear that causes us to make these decisions that we're not proud of. And that's what happened to Peter, right? He got afraid, and he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He denied knowing him, that he was part of his group, or had anything to do with him. But it was because he was afraid, right? And the Word of God says that we don't need to be afraid, right? That we don't need to be afraid. And when we put that fear behind us, then that's when we accomplish great things. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Did Peter feel bad? He sure did. He wept. He felt really, really horrible about what he had done. You know, and then Jesus Christ goes on to get crucified. I mean, that's kind of, you know, Peter's really upset with himself and how he handled the situation. John chapter 20, verse 19. This is after Jesus Christ is resurrected. Okay, so after Jesus Christ is resurrected, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, because they were having a fun party. Yeah. No. The doors were shut for fear of the Jews. They were still afraid, right? They were associates of Jesus Christ, this guy who had gotten crucified, this guy who the Jewish, you know, conglomerate and mob had called to be crucified. They were scared. They were scared. And Jesus Christ's body was missing, right? So they were afraid that people might think they had something to do with it. So they were shut behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. But after that came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, you jerks, you all, you know, you denied me. Now, he said, peace be unto you, right? Peace be unto you. This is after he's resurrected. He could have said something very different than peace be unto you after the way he was treated. But he loved them. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Right? Even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed, and the word on should be in, he breathed in, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And we know that this is him teaching them about what was to come on the day of Pentecost, how they were going to receive the Holy Spirit, how they were supposed to be breathing in on that day of Pentecost and receive the Holy Spirit. So he teaches them. He proceeds to teach them about how they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Right? These are the men, the people he taught. These are the people that he trained. And they were behind closed doors and afraid, right? But Jesus Christ works with them. He says, peace be unto you. And he proceeds to continue to teach them. He doesn't give up on them, right? He doesn't give up on them. He had spent almost a year of his life with these people. He had showed them miracle after miracle. They had done miracles of their own, right? And here they were behind closed doors and afraid after everything that went down, right? But he didn't give up on them. He didn't give up on them. And, you know, God's not going to give up on you either, right? God works with all kinds of people, right? The Bible is riddled with folks who God picked to work in who were nothing of any kind of importance or stature, right? God can work with anybody, and he wants to work with you. Go to chapter 21, verse 1. And Jesus Christ exemplified that in the way that he worked with Peter and the other disciples. But even after all of that, in chapter 21, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise, or in this manner, showed he himself. It's a little intro verse there. This is how it sets up the scene. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I'm ready to do what Jesus Christ asked me to do. I'm ready to be the man he called me to be. He said, I go a fishing. All right, guys, I'm going back to the old job again. Even after all the stuff that Jesus Christ did, and after all the things that he taught him, Peter was ready to go back to fishing. They say unto him, sounds like a good idea, man. We go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught bupkis. Right? They caught nothing. They caught nothing. So even after Jesus Christ appears to them, as a resurrected Son of God appears to them, and tells them what's going to happen and prepares them, they kind of quit, right? They went back to fishing. He tapped out. Isn't that remarkable, right? To think that, like, after all of that, you'd be like, there's no way I wouldn't believe at that point. But here they are, back to just everyday life. Verse 18. So, we won't read the rest of the record, but Jesus Christ shows himself to them once again, and Peter jumps into the sea and swims ashore because he's so excited to see Jesus again. Apparently he forgot about him. I don't know. But he's so excited to see him, and Jesus says, do you love me? You know, feed my sheep. Take care of my people. And in verse 18, it says, verily, verily, I say unto thee. So this is Jesus Christ talking to Peter once again. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest with whither thou wouldest. When you were young, you did whatever the heck you wanted to do, right? But when thou shalt be old, when you mature and grow up, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not, right? So when you grow up, right, you'll start to follow and do what God wants you to actually do here, okay? So when you're ready to grow up, you will walk with God, and you will do these things. And it says, verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what, and the word death there is omitted, by what he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. And so once again, Peter follows Jesus Christ, right? Tells him to take care of his flock and to once again follow him. And Peter does. Go to the book of Acts, probably the next page over, chapter 1, verse 8. And I just think it's really cool to see how human Peter is. You got to think about all the things he saw and all the times that Jesus Christ told him, you know, follow me. Do this or do that, and the things he got to see, and yet he still would just kind of quit and give up. And we can be like that sometimes, right? But God never gives up on us, just like Jesus never gave up on Peter. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, this is right before Jesus Christ ascends, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Right? And so he tells them that they're going to receive power on the day of Pentecost. There's going to be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, or as of a heavy breathing, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right? And so this is the initial outpouring on the day of Pentecost of Holy Spirit. And Peter is one of the recipients of that outpouring. Peter gets born again. He is one of 12 people to be the first ever to be born again and receive Holy Spirit. And he speaks in tongues. And the people there hear him. And this transforms Peter. This transforms Peter. He's endued with power from on high. And it gives Peter the confidence to kill the fear that had been causing him to go back to fishing and to give up and to sink into whatever all those many times, right? In verse 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all the ye that dwell at Jerusalem." Now, the people who are in Judea and Jerusalem are Jews, okay? And they were behind closed doors for fear of who? The Jews. And here he is standing up and addressing them boldly. "Ye men of Judea and all that ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and listen or hearken to my words. Hear my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing but it is the third hour of the day." It's only 9 a.m. Verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by you among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know." You know, you saw it. "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." And so he's calling them out on what they did, "whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Right? And so here he finds great boldness. He's no longer afraid. He's no longer afraid. And he's calling all these people out, right, and telling them what they had done. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. What changed Peter? He got born again. He got Holy Spirit. He was endued with power from on high. Acts 4, verse 5. "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst," this is Peter and John, "they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this?" Because they had healed the impotent man, right? They had healed the lame man. "So how did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," the guy you killed, "whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." Right? And so, again, with great boldness, he confronts the people. He confronts these people who were out for him and John for healing a man. Right? He was no longer afraid. Verse 11, "This is the stone which is set at naught, or despised of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Right? And so he's telling them who Jesus Christ is and what they have available and how they screwed up. So he had great boldness. There was no more fear in Peter's life. Go to chapter 5, verse 17. We're not going to read everything that's ever happened to Peter, but here in 17, he gets cast into prison. And the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And in chapter 12, we won't go there, but Peter's imprisoned again, this time on death row. And the angel opens up the prison doors for him, opens up the gates, and he walks right out of there, right? So Peter once was behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And here God is opening prison doors for him, right? That's deliverance. That's deliverance. And that's the believing that Peter had, right? He believed who he was as the Son of God. He received Holy Spirit. He manifested power. He healed people. He worked miracles, right? It changed his life. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we have that same Holy Spirit in us. When we confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, and we're born again, we've got that same Holy Spirit. We don't have to be afraid either. We can operate power. We can speak in tongues. We can do the things that Jesus Christ did and greater. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right? That spirit that Peter got, it kicked out the fear. He was powerful. He was of a sound mind. He was no longer afraid. That Holy Spirit is what we have. We're going to close in Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. So, in a lot of ways, we can relate to Peter and the things that he did and the way he behaved. But we get to see his deliverance, too. We get to see the remarkable man he became. And we have that same Holy Spirit in us. Romans 8:37 says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So whatever the situation is, you're more than a conqueror. You don't have any reason to fear. You don't have to be behind closed doors anymore. You have Holy Spirit, and you can operate that power and manifest it just like Peter did. Right? In all these things, we are more than conquerors.